This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, it looks like it is public. Good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds and the Squared Circle, Suds News. I am Vinny, this is Christy, and we are here live. Today is Monday, November 20th, 2023. Oh, I like that. You're in the center of the spot.
That's what it did to me. That's what it did to me. This is what you get. I'm in a circle. The squared circle.
Well, there you go. So I'm Vinny. This is Christy. And we're here as live as we live can be. I'm just going to go ahead and post it on Facebook and X that we are live so that maybe we can draw up some viewers. Share, share alike. Okay. So
maybe I can share too.
We've got a lot going on in Port Charles. Clearly, we've got some stuff going on, and we have big news about somebody leaving General Hospital, as announced today, that I saw, and also. Based on Friday's cliffhanger, Roger Howarth is out at General Hospital. So I don't know whether they're going to just, hey, Nathan, welcome. Nathan is
Hi.
Nathan Banks is in the chat.
Hi,
so welcome, welcome, welcome. And yes, Roger Howarth is out. We saw at the end of Friday's episode that Austin was shot. We don't know by whom. I did not watch today's episode, so clearly we're going to find out with today whether or not he's actually, you know, what's going to happen, if he's somebody's going to find him, or if it's going to be, if it's going to end up being a week or so or what have you. But the other thing is that Mason is out. His portrayer, Nathaniel Gray, has also left. So I wonder if they're dropping the entire Gatlin storyline just abruptly because of Roger leaving. I'm not understanding exactly what happened. Maybe it was just a contract dispute. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
All I know is I did see a post today. Basically... Roger Howarth posted on his Instagram. Let's see if I can find it. And Roger Howarth is not a social media person. So clearly he's just not, he just wanted to find, you know, just wanted to leave and let everybody know.
Yeah.
That he was leaving. Here we go. The real hot Roger Howarth. Let's see. Okay, so this is what he posted, and this was 9 hours ago today. Still life with coffee and rabbit ears. Three things that I know for sure. One, daytime fans are lovely and amazing and supportive and dedicated, and I am deeply grateful to each sparkly one of them. Two, I enjoyed my time at General Hospital and wish the cast and crew the best and continued success. It was a pleasure working with you all. Three, life is amazing. We just don't ever know what's going to happen. How great. Turn toward the light. Always huge thank you to you all. So that was his, and he's not that I know, I don't believe he's trolling anybody because he's not on social media that often. So I think when he actually goes on his social media, it's the reason why. Okay, so Nathan in the chat goes, from his interview exclusive with Soap Opera Digest, it wasn't Roger's decision to leave. It was a move story. and it seems like it was ABC dictated. So maybe they just didn't want to maintain him, or maybe they let him go because the Austin character just wasn't getting over, and maybe he'll come back in a year or so as either somebody else or come back as Todd, which fans have been clamoring for. We don't know. Anyways, thank you for all the information, Nathan. I do appreciate it. So Roger Howarth, obviously, you know, let's kind of get started with that. Austin being shot on Friday. Do you have any inside information on who it could be?
I don't know who shot him. I'm guessing it's somebody who works for Cyrus. That's just a guess. But I really honestly have no clue. And I don't really have a lot of investment, personal investment in the character of Austin. Other than that excitement I had over him and Ava, you know, having it, you know, hitting the sheets at one time, a one time only wham, bam, thank you, ma'am situation. Other than that, I was like not really invested in Austin's character. So, you know, for some fans, I'm sure it's really sad that he's gone, but I'm not shedding any tears over it personally. It's just the thing is with Roger Howarth is they brought him back as so many characters now that I'm just over it. And I just considered Austin like Franco 2.0. That's what I called him. So it's a story for dramatic purposes, but I mean, I don't really care one way or the other.
I can't be honest. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call him Franco 2.0. I think it was a much different character. I enjoyed Franco. I didn't really enjoy Austin's character. I think I don't necessarily know why they went with it. I mean, obviously they had a story arc they wanted to use. And it's like his character, the Austin character, kind of switched in the middle of its run almost, simply because when he came in, he was trying to get the Quartermain fortune, mm-hmm. trying to get his cut of the Quartermain's, you know, estate, you know, because of his father, Jimmy Lee Holt. But then it's like when that storyline was done, it was almost like ABC threw up their hands and said, we don't know what else to do. Let's kind of shoehorn him in and bring in this guy as his cousin, Mason. And then, you know, it's like now they're related to Cyrus. And it's like it just all seemed very pieced together in a MacGyver type of way.
Yeah, I don't think they quite knew what they were doing for Austin's character, because at first he was like in with the Quartermains and creating drama there, and then it was this whole Mason Cyrus storyline. It's a little all over the place for me, so I just couldn't really invest in what was going on with his character, probably based off like the writing decisions that were made and the way it was just presented on screen just made me like, take it or leave it, you know?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It just went to the point where it just didn't make any sense for the character to be there. And like Roger himself obviously is a fantastic actor, and none mm-hmm. of this goes against him. It's just the character right. that he was portraying. Like I would have loved to see a little bit more fire in the character. Like the idea, you know, him with Maxie originally, and then him with, you know, again, you know, him with Ava, and it just didn't work. Roger had the chemistry, but as a character, it just wasn't there. It really was not. But we are sad to see him leave. I just wish the character would have been I wish he would be repackaged as something else in a year or two. Kind of give fans time to miss him, and you know, you can't miss him if he won't go away, and give the fans some time to you know, miss the character, miss the actor, and then, you know, come back. Hey, bring back Todd. He was a fan favorite.
Todd, yeah, that's my favorite.
So
it's my favorite.
That would probably work as well, but who knows? Again, it was apparently it was not Roger's decision to leave. It was ABC dictated. So it is what it is. Although, again, the question being, who shot Austin? Was it Mason? Last we knew, Mason was in the hospital on then being released on his way to Pentonville. Was it Cyrus? We know that Cyrus went to go see Laura and Jordan last week and said that he got a job at the Port Charles Grill as a dishwasher. But he still got his hands in that entire situation. Was it Nicholas? You know, could Nicholas have, you know, shot him to keep him quiet about, you know, him still being alive, although that's worst kept secret at this point in time. Considering, you know, Laura knows he's alive because of the bank and she came home and told everybody. Let's see. Could it be somebody completely different? Could it be Pikeman? I mean, just kind of stretching there. You know, could it be Alcazar that's coming back, you know, being the one to, because, you know, he was about to go to the cops and turn over Cyrus and, you know, ruin the plans of who, you know, Pikeman. Again, there's a lot of questions, so it's going to be story driven. And the story's going to be good. You know, another theory was Austin Cyrus's son, which is why Cyrus put out the money and kind of took care of him, put him through medical school. And maybe he wasn't a Gatlin Holt or by adoption. There's so many different places and paths they can go. So I'm anxious to see where the story goes. I'm enjoying it.
It's a story, the storyline that I could care less about. So I'm happy you're enjoying it, Vinny, but for me, it doesn't really matter that much who killed Austin or not. Cause I'm like, it's all right. It's whatever. But if Nicholas did kill him, that would be a great entry point for the return of his character. So yes. I will say that.
I agree. Especially, you know, Nicholas coming back and, you know, it's like, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about Adam Huss coming back recently or coming back, mm-hmm. you know, now, whatever he's doing. All right. So let's kind of get back to the beginning of the week. And Nina ends up cornering. First of all, Nina ended up going to Kelly's to talk to Carly. And she ended, you know, they ended up talking about Charlotte being shot. They ended up, you know, just kind of making small talk. And then she sees Martin come in and turn around and walk out. And she goes after Martin and just kind of tells him and says, you know, what did you do? Why did you give me up? And he's like, I didn't. I only confirmed what Michael already knew. And then what ended up happening, Carly comes out. And then Nina offers to sell Carly back the MetroCorp, or half of the MetroCorp, which is something she did at the very, very beginning. So obviously we know that Nina panicked, and we know that, you know, she didn't want to come out and say, oh, well, you know, I'm the reason why Drew went to Pentonville. But I don't know. I don't know what Nina's endgame is at this point. You know, is she just still trying to cover her ass, or is she trying to really give Carly back the MetroCorp, or trying to get, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is now, especially because Michael is still holding it over her head, but Willow is the one that's extending the olive branch to get a better relationship with her mother.
Well, yeah. Well, she's extending the olive branch, but not knowing that her mother did this to call the SEC True. On Carly. So it's kind of like she doesn't really know all the information there. I think Nina is just trying to like A, cover her butt, but B, it's kind of like she's almost, I think she's just trying to like almost make amends to Carly, knowing that she did something to Carly in that sense of like possibly getting her in jail, and then it ended up Drew being in jail. And it's like, I think this is maybe her way of trying to atone for her actions, but I still don't think it's going to fly well with Sunny or Carly when the truth comes out. So she's still going to try to be justifying her actions, which is what she does all the time.
Although, I mean, in reality, she is justified in what she did. Nina did nothing wrong. You could call it petty. You could call it, you know, vindictive or vengeful because of, Carly keeping Nell and Willow away from her, you know, until the very last minute or whatever the case was. But she actually did something that wouldn't have been considered wrong, and it wasn't illegal. Carly was the one that was the illegal act by committing insider trading. So Nina is justified. Whether or not, let's say, Sunny wants to see it that way, we don't know. Michael doesn't see it that way. You know,
I feel like it's a Team Carly versus Team Nina situation.
Of course.
So, I mean, just Nina annoys me on like so many levels. So I really don't care for her.
I don't mind her character, and Cynthia Rothrose is great, but
yes.
Funny, if you look at the way Michelle Stafford portrayed Nina and then Cynthia Rothrose, the way she portrays Nina, I'm sorry, but Michelle Stafford was a lot more assertive as a lead female antagonist. Cynthia Rothrose is just a whiner. Like,
I don't know. I don't know if that comes down to how she's portraying Nina or if that's like a writing, directing decision. But like, she comes across as very like whiny, like, oh, poor me, poor me. Like, why do all these people think I'm such a horrible person? But and then she's also like, I've also noticed that Nina is constantly inserted in other storylines. And that just annoys the crap out of me. It's just like, she's already annoying. And then we got to insert her in this storyline, in this storyline, and make sure she's friends with this person and friends with this person. And I'm like, no, just no, just stop it. I don't care for it.
Again, thank you for watching. And go ahead and like, subscribe, get notified. Click the little bell icon to get notified anytime we go live or anytime something is posted to this Substance Squared Circle network. Again, you're right. Nina gets inserted. Like, Nina was at Charlotte's bedside with Valentine. Like, was there a reason for her to be there? I mean, I understand wanting to support a teenage girl, but she had no reason to be there.
She literally drops in other people's storylines that I'm like, I'm sorry, are you friends with everybody? Are you trying to be friends with besties with everybody in town? I'm confused. Like, why? Just why? Why is she popping up in everyone's business? Why does it seem like she's popping up in everyone's business? Is it just me? Because I'm just like starting to think, is it just me? Or is Nina like literally popping up in everyone's business?
Well, like, it's funny because it used to be Carly that popped up in everybody's business and being involved in every single storyline. Now it's like it shifted to Nina. Mm-hmm. You know, I get it. You know, Nina has friends around. Like, she's friends with Sasha, and, you know, she cares about Charlotte, and she's friends with Curtis. I haven't really seen her hang out with Curtis ever since he got paralyzed. So why didn't she go and visit him? Right. So let's build that friendship a little bit more. But why did she have to be bedside with Valentine? Like, and the way it looked as a fan, as a viewer, with Charlotte waking up and Nina was like hunched over Valentine's shoulder, almost in a very intimate pose. There was no reason for her to be there. None at all.
I don't know. I didn't know she was friends with Valentine.
Well,
Was that
they dated.
something I missed? Oh, they dated? I
Yeah,
forgot
Nina
about
and
that.
Valentine almost got married. And the entire reason why Sasha, it was Michelle Stafford's Nina, of course, but the entire reason why Sasha is in Port Charles is because Valentine paid her to pose as Nina's daughter. And then when the truth came out, you know, yeah, Nina hated Sasha, but eventually she softened her heart to her and they started to build that friendship. And now she's, you know, very close. But yeah, so she's friends with Valentine, you know, she still cares about Charlotte. And I get that. The entire reason why Nina and Willow have always been at odds was because Willow was originally Charlotte's teacher when Charlotte was bullying Aiden. And they started butting heads at that point because Nina was one of those parents, like, my daughter could, you know, stepdaughter can do no wrong. And they just never really gelled. But you wouldn't know it by the history, like, unless you knew the history, you really wouldn't know it.
Yeah, see, I forgot about that. I totally forgot about the history because it feels like a whole nother era of time.
Yes.
When I think about Michelle Stafford as Nina, it's like that to me was so long ago that it's like that history for me has just like been long forgotten. So that's why I was like, wait, she's friends with Valentine? I forgot. Like, I forgot they had a history. Like, I, you know, it's just been so long. Plus, you know, it's Nina. I'm just like, why does Nina have this many friends? I don't think she's that likable. Like, that's me, though. Just me. I'm still finding a reason to like Nina. Like, she comes across like, oh, so caring. Like, I really care about you and blah, blah, blah. But on the other side of it, I'm just like, but do you really? Or do you have an agenda? Do you have a motive? Like, what's your real motive behind this? Like, I don't know. But I can tell from videos of Cynthia Watrous that she's a very sweet, loving, she seems like a very sweet, loving person. And it always is like the most annoying or like evil type characters are like the sweetest people in real life. So I'm sure that's the case with Cynthia. I haven't gone to any of her events, but I think that's the case from what I've seen of the videos that she's posted on social media. So,
and again, it's where you have to separate the character from the actor. You know, it's one of those things where we know that, you know, everybody plays a character. The only time that I really see, here's one of the debates I get into all the time is, why is it okay for fans, or should I say, why is it okay for fans watching, like, for example, a soap opera like General Hospital, and understand that Maurice Bernard is not Sonny Corinthos in real life, because, you know, they have obviously the actor playing the character. But yet, here's where I draw the line, and here's where I always get into debates with. When it comes to wrestling, I don't want to see the actor portraying the character. I don't, you know, it's almost like, it's always a weird situation. And this is one thing that I really do want to get other people involved with in terms of a discussion. But when I mentioned the term kayfabe, I mentioned it on last week's show when Ned or GH production posted the pictures of Ned and Olivia in the, or Wally Kurth and Lisa LoCicero in the water tank. And I said, don't break kayfabe. Kayfabe is that word that's almost like breaking the fourth wall. You know, when you're watching wrestling and you're watching it and you want to actually, even though as somebody who's intelligent, you know that it's scripted and whatever, but you want to actually believe that what's going on inside the ring. You want to suspend your disbelief. So when you have, you know, somebody who's clearly a bad guy, for example, like a Baron Corbin, but yet you watch him on his social media, on his X, and he's grilling and doing all these great things and posting up these grilling videos. You know, you can't hate him. You can't dislike him. It's a weird paradox that's a difference between wrestling and every other type of media, but that's just me on my soapbox. But yeah, again, if you don't like the character, it has nothing to do with the actor portraying him. You know, so I know it was like a number of months ago on social media, you know, Cynthia Watchers was getting a lot of hate for something that Nina did, whether it was the whole Nina versus Carly, you know, big feud. And even Laura Wright had to come out and say, listen, you can hate the character all you want, but understand the hate cannot be directed towards the actor because they're playing a
character. Yeah, they're just doing a job at the end of the day. Exactly. The actor's coming in and they're doing a job. And probably the reason why you hate them so much is because they're doing their job so well that you hate their character so much, not them themselves as a person, but you hate the character. So, and I know this was an issue with Camila Benoist when she was on Days. She got so much hate on social media for Gabby that she basically took herself off X, you know, formerly known as Twitter, because it was just so ridiculous the way people would hate Gabby for things she did that they would direct it towards Camila. And Camila is like literally the sweetest person. She's completely like she's not that much like Gabby at all. So it's just funny. People just can't separate, you know, the character from the actor. Which
in one aspect is a good thing, because that means, again, like you said, the actor is really good at playing the part and portraying that style of character. But, you know, and it's like sometimes you want to be able to suspend the disbelief. I think social media, unfortunately, made it a lot easier to have access to celebrities and actors and the portrayers of these people you only knew by watching them on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you're gonna have more interaction or more thing, you're gonna find out more things. You know, personally, I can't stand Nancy Lee Grahn just by what she posts online. But that doesn't mean that I have to not respect her talent as Alexis on General Hospital. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's a tough one too, because Nancy gets very political on her Twitter. So it's very, it can, yeah, she's dip. She's gotten into some rough waters with some people. So yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it.
As a matter of fact, she has me blocked on my personal X page. Actually, her and Maura West both have me blocked for different reasons.
You know, I got blocked by I think Carolyn Hennessy. No idea why. I've like never really interacted with her, and she blocked me. I was like on X, and I'm like, no idea why. Like literally, don't get it. I've met her at a GH fan event before, and it's just.
So here's the thing.
But I heard she does that to a bunch of people. It's not just me. Like, it's like, I don't know. It's like a thing.
So here's the thing. On my personal X, the three biggest names that I'm blocked by are Nancy Lee Grahn, because I replied to one of her tweets just because I didn't agree with her political stance. And then she blocked me. Maura West, which was a weird one, because it was when, you know, there were questions on whether Ava was leaving or whatever. And I'm not, or I hadn't been a huge Ava fan. And I said, good riddance. And she blocked me for that, which was weird because I thought she was, you know, a more.
Well, that was directed towards her character, though.
Character, exactly.
Right. You probably said good riddance without saying good riddance, Ava, not.
Possibly.
Maura.
And then Jim Cornette.
Ava. Yeah.
And then Jim Cornette, which I'm a huge fan of his. I listen to every podcast he puts out, but because I disagree with his politics, he blocked me. but it is what it is. So speaking of Camila, yes, you're right. She is out at Days. Her last scenes were last week. along with Martha Madison.
So sad.
They both had their last episodes last week. Although I expect Martha to be back somewhat soon, or you know, nothing too long. But apparently a lot of the people leaving had to do with Albert Allar and, you know, the shady shenanigans that he was pulling in the background. So I don't know whether that's, you know, why Camila left, but I have a feeling.
I'm kind of curious about that myself. I don't know if that was part of it or it was more like a contract negotiation thing where they weren't really offering her enough time off to maybe do other projects, or I don't know if it was a money thing. Like, I'm not really sure either, but honestly, she's so talented. I honestly think she deserves better than Days. That's just my personal opinion. There's a lot of talented soap actors out there who I honestly think deserve probably better than what they're getting on their respective soaps. But a lot of them stay with their respective soaps because it's like family. It's like home to them. It's become such a part of their lives, which I totally respect and I totally get. So yeah, I mean, it's a little sad for me to have seen Camila's last days on Days of Our Lives, but they have left the door open for her because she was wrongly set up for a crime that right. She did not commit. And she was kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time situation and then stupidly touched the murder weapon. So it was just not a good overall like way to try to get yourself out of prison because like you touched the murder weapon. So I mean, it's tough, but like I know they're like leaving the door open for her. And so hopefully, you know, she'll be able to come back at some point if she chooses and if the right stars align correctly, you know. But I'm happy for her. She's living her best life in Tampa. And, you know, I'm happy for her. So.
And the rumor and innuendo is that Stefan will be leaving as well. Not necessarily Brandon Barash leaving, but I've heard through the Gorilla Vine that pictures have surfaced with him with a mustache and he may be switching back to his previous character, Jake, who was Stefan's twin brother.
That's so ridiculous if they do that. I'm sorry, Dave. It's so ridiculous to me. I
don't know if that's the truth or not, but I don't know.
I didn't care for Jake. I always thought Stefan was better. It was the Stefan and Gabby dynamic, which was always better. And this is my thing. I know we're a General Hospital podcast, but we're quickly talking about Days here. But I mean, if you watch Days, you know what I mean. Like Stefan and Gabby were each other's soulmates because people would tell Stefan, oh, Gabby did this. Gabby did this and this and this and this. And he's like, yeah. So like that was pretty much his reaction. Like I'm backing up my girlfriend who became my wife. Right. Like I love her and I am just as ready to do some shady stuff like she is. Like they were just perfect fit for each other. Like that was they were soulmates. And I just can't picture Stefan with anybody else, honestly, on Days. I just can't. And the same goes for Gabby. Like, it's just, they were just such a perfect fit that it's really going to be hard to even see them with other people. So I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon left for a time and came back as another character or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, it's just my two cents.
And also, apparently Steve Burton has wrapped his stint up at Days. He's no longer under contract. His contract is over. Some, you know, news is, the Stephen Bradford's podcast is no longer on Podcast One. They did leave Podcast One previously. They moved over to just YouTube for a while and now they're actually on Daily Drama and their guest on their newest episode was none other than Laura Wright. So that is leading again to more speculation that Jason could be coming back very soon.
That's been the rumor though. People have been putting that rumor out there since he left. And even Becky mentioned this at her event. Like somebody mentioned it to her, I think, and she's like, hasn't been that been the rumor though since he left? I'm like, yes, Becky, it's been the rumor since he left that he's coming back, because people want him back so badly as Jason Morgan. But honestly, I told Becky this, and I've told this on the podcast too. I said, look, Becky, like, honestly, I don't know if I want Jason back, because I was so disappointed by the lack of Jason and Elizabeth scenes. They're co-parenting a kid. You think they'd have a scene maybe once, at least once a month, but I get one maybe every 3 to 6 months. I'm sorry. I just don't think I want Jason back unless it means that we will get regularly on the regular Jason and Elizabeth scenes. Now, I'm not saying they have to get back together and be a couple again, because I honestly don't see that happening. I'm a really sad liaison fan about it. I would love for that to happen. But I mean, I think, you know, that era is over. So it just is what it is with that. But I mean, for them to be co-parents on screen and they barely even see each other was just very disappointing to me. So I told Becky, I was like, look, I honestly don't know if I want him back, just because of that alone. It just, and if they're going to just throw him back in as Jason Morgan again and just do the old shtick with him and Sonny and him working for Sonny, I want like a whole new, like, I'm out of the mob for real. I'm going to do something else. Jason Morgan.
Like I said, like, it's got to make sense. It can't just be Jason coming back as Jason just because it's Jason. And thank you, David. Welcome to the show. Thank you for pointing out Brandon was recently moved to recurring status on Days. So that could be going to be taking some time away. But yeah, I just, you know, Jason, you know, if Steve Burns is going to come back, it's got to be the right story. It's got to be the right reason, and it has to work. It can't just be just another guy on the canvas because the fans want him there. Let's see some scenes with Jason and Liz as Jake is suffering from PTSD from seeing Charlotte bloody on the ground. Or, you know, maybe he opens up to, you know, maybe Jake opens up to Jason and saying, you know, Helena brainwashed me. I think she's under brainwash from another, you know, Victor or what have you. So there are ways to incorporate him into the stories. It just, it has to have that kind of meatiness to it.
Yeah, I just don't know if I trust the current regimen to do it proper justice. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I know that's like an unpopular opinion for me to be like, how could you not want Jason Morgan back? Like, I'd love him back, but just like let it make sense for him to have scenes with Elizabeth, even if they're not a couple, which I don't like I said, look, I'm not super naive about it. Like, I really don't think that's going to happen romantically, probably ever again. Okay. They haven't kissed in over 10 years. So like, come on. Like, it's probably not going to ever happen, but they're co-parents. So it would make sense for them to have scenes on a fairly regular basis. Agreed. I don't want this every 3 to 6 months. We'll throw the liaison fans a bone. Like, no, that's BS to me. Like, I'm sorry. You need to have him. I wanted more regular scenes with him, with the Quartermains. And cause that's just part of that core history of Jason, and the scenes, of course, with Elizabeth. And then I just don't want him being Sonny's lapdog again in the whole Sonny Carly fiasco. It's just tired. I just want something new for him if he came back.
So David put in the chat, maybe Jason shot Austin. I don't necessarily know if that's going to be it. I would much rather see Jason emerge in Greece and the, you know, almost like,
I mean,
an old visual of the Undertaker where you see the hand coming through the rocks.
No. I think Nicholas might be interesting because it was expensive shoes, right? We saw walking away from the scene. So who's got expensive shoes on GH, you know? Like, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm going more towards Nicholas. Or, I mean, if you're going to go with an entire storyline. Now, like I said before, Nathan pointed out that it was meant to move story with Austin being killed. So perhaps it is the Pikeman boss, if it's not Cyrus who's fully in control. You know, maybe it is Alcazar. You know, because I mean, if we're going now with the theory that the MetroCorp shooting was meant to be towards Sunny, not Anna, you know, that means that there's a WSB issued person, you know, somebody who was able to get a WSB issued gun who could potentially be working for Pikeman, especially after Sunny set up the fake raid with, you know, with the Pikeman box signing coffee. So, you know, theoretically it could be, you know, and then you have, you've got Blaze and Christina who are getting closer. Now, one thing I really was upset about, and Matt from the 10th floor pointed it out, Kate Manzi was recently on daily on Stephen Bradford's podcast, and she did kind of spoil a couple things coming forward, that she and Blaze are in a relationship. We'll get into the next part later on in the episode. But yeah, so, you know, allegedly Blaze may be Lila Ray Alcazar. So, you know, if they're going to bring Luis, you know, Lorenzo Alcazar back, you know, and Ted King portraying him, it would be good to have Lila Ray back as well. So, you know, it could, and they're going to go after Sonny from two different directions. Blaze going after his daughter, and then obviously Lorenzo going after Sonny himself.
I'm fine with that.
So David goes and says, I'm hoping Austin isn't really dead, and he goes into witness protection. It's a soap opera. It could happen. I don't necessarily know if that's going to happen, but then again, if we cut the right deal with the PCPD, that is a good possibility. You know, fake his own death so that, you know, Cyrus thinks he's dead. It's a possibility. Again, anything, you know, that's the storyline. And I know right now we're boring Christy with the storyline because she's not too...
I'm not. Sorry, y'all. Not that messed. Just not. I'm like, eh. I could take or leave Austin, to be honest. The only time I, like I said, I was really kind of invested in him was when I thought him and Abe were going to be a couple, and that was really just kind of a flash of the pan. So,
let's move on a little bit. First of all, before we do move on, a huge congratulations to Cameron Matheson, who just today was announced signed a multi-film deal with Great American Country. He's moving on from Hallmark and moving into the Great American Country territory.
I think you mean Great American Family. That's the TV.
The Great American Family. I apologize. Yeah.
But it says GTV, so it's a little like confusing when they do that acronym. But yes, it's the same channel that Jen Lilly's on. Cameron Burr. You know her from her Full House days.
Cameron, but a lot of
the actors who were on Hallmark moved over to Great American Family.
Yeah.
Because the former executive from Hallmark created that new network. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of political stuff behind the scenes that caused that new network to be created. So, again, the haters are out because, you know, Cameron Matheson decided to go there instead of Hallmark. But it is what it is. I try to stay neutral when it comes to that.
Everyone makes their own decisions as best for them and their family and their situation. So I respect it. I mean, I don't think fans, like, we should be so critical of things like that because we don't know all the ins and outs of behind the scenes in someone's life and like what it took them to make that decision. Like that's up to them. They're doing the best for their life. Like it's just me though. Like, I don't feel like I should have anything to say about that. Cause it's like, so what? That's not in my control whether or not he stays at Hallmark or not. Like that's not my decision.
And to be completely honest with you, just because he made a business decision to go to a different network, that doesn't necessarily reflect any political stance. It could or it can't. Who are we to tell? And why do we care? You know, that's why I don't go to a voting booth, you vote in private. But, you know, whatever the case is, let's kind of move on. So Drew just gets out of bed and he goes to see Michael. And he said, okay, well, now that, let's focus on combining Aurora with ELQ. And it's like, Michael's like, well, didn't we just try that and it didn't work? But they wanted to, they want to take advantage of the fact that they're under the impression that Ned is still Eddie, and Valentin obviously is, you know, is otherwise, you know, distracted. Allegedly, you know, they want to combine ELQ and Aurora Media again, or try it again. But little do they know that Ned is Ned again. And Ned is going to be focusing a lot of his time and effort onto ELQ again, because Valentin is, you know, distracted with Charlotte stuff. So did Drew not learn his lesson? Maybe they'll just,
I don't know where he said that. I don't know. I guess maybe he's thinking that's a good business decision right now, because maybe Aurora is not that profitable or something, and he's hoping maybe another merger with ELQ is going to be a good business decision. I don't know. Maybe he thought about this a lot when he was in prison. I'm still having flashbacks from when he got brutally attacked in the shower naked. That will always be in infamy in my brain. Sorry, y'all. I'm going to mention that like every week we mention Drew, because that's just going to live in my brain forever.
We'll have to put that on a shirt. Drew getting naked in the shower.
Why'd you do that to poor Drew in the shower, man? Like, why? I know it's realistic, but I still can't stop thinking about it.
We'll have to put that on a shirt.
If I ever meet Cameron Matheson, I'm going to be like, dude, man, that was just brutal for me to watch you get attacked naked in the shower like that.
Go to sudsquarecircle.threadless.com, and by the end of the week, I'll have that on a shirt. all right, but you know, so I don't know if, you know, Michael, I really like how Michael is kind of caught between a rock and a hard place at this time, because Drew and Carly come in, they're all talking, and, you know, Drew's like, I just want to put it behind me, the whole SEC thing. I don't care if it, you know, if it was Ned or whoever, you know, I don't care. I just want to put it behind me. I did my time. I'm home. The probation is only so long. And I got a kick out of it. Now, Michael has been, for the past couple of years, Michael has been acting like a petulant child. I'm sorry, but he just has been. On Twitter, or on X, earlier this week, I want to say it was after Thursday's episode or Friday's episode, somebody on Twitter, I can't remember who, or actually I can. I can look to see, because people are still liking it. Let's see, where are we? Somebody pointed out, and there we go. Who was it? Oh, Daniel. Daniel Port Charles Pettyboy at Dante is Vibe called Michael Darth Breast Milk. And I just... I popped. I'm like, he's won the internet for that day.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Look, Michael has his moments. You know, I like Michael in some ways. Like when he punched out that reporter, many months ago, that was valid. Yeah. I like Michael though. I like Michael in moments like that. And then most of the time, I'm just like, Michael.
I don't like it. Can't stand Michael right now because of the simple fact that he only throws around Sonny's name when he feels like it, when he could get something from it. You know, like with Martin. Oh, well, you know, who cares about, you know, if you disagree with me, but what about my father? What is he going to do to you? What is Sonny going to do to you when he finds out that, you know, you did that, you're the one that told the SEC to look at him? You know, it's like, but in other things, he just completely disagrees with, you know, his father's business. And, you know, it's like he thinks he's a threat, and he's upset because he chose Nina over Carly. And it's like, why? Like, whatever's going on between your parents, I understand being upset that your mother was hurt, but that he's still your father. I can't.
I he goes back and forth. It's really weird because he had these really touching scenes with Sonny, what, like 2-3 weeks ago, where I thought they were kind of in a good place.
Yeah.
And then now he's back to like, ugh, Sonny. Like, pick a side, man. Well, just
he's okay with Sonny now. He's just more that he doesn't want anybody having anything.
Yeah, that's to control Nina's involvement, which I keep seeing in flashbacks. Like they keep showing the flashbacks, like, this is what you're allowed to do, Nina. You're allowed to see Wiley when I tell you you're allowed to see Wiley.
Right, exactly. Like,
you can't control people, bro. Like as much as you want to. Like, I'm pretty sure your wife is probably going to be more lenient about that. Yeah. So, yeah. You probably didn't check with Willow before you said those words to Nina, did you? So, I just...
Did they drop the whole Harmony warning Willow storyline? Because she hasn't had a dream in a couple weeks now, you know, and Willow really hasn't brought it up.
They'll pop up again. It'll pop up again, I'm sure. They just drop the ball for a couple weeks and then they bring it back up like, oh, hi, by the way.
I think Harmony's trying to warn Willow against Michael, honestly. I think it's that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll eventually come to like a resolution there with that. But those dreams are so weird and bizarre when they started. I'm just like, okay. Trying to remind myself why I'm supposed to be invested in this.
So David points out Michael's been an ass since he found, you know, he and Willow cheated on Chase.
Good point.
I completely get that. Absolutely. And that is true. Again, folks, thank you for watching. Go ahead and like the video. Click the thumbs up. Go ahead and subscribe and get notified anytime we go live or anything comes up on the Suds in the Squared Circle YouTube page. Also, if you're listening on the podcast and any podcast app, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. I did hear that, I believe in the next year, Google Podcasts is going to be going away for you Android users. We are on Spotify. We are on Stitcher. We are on iHeartRadio and Amazon as well. So you could listen to us anywhere that you get your streaming, your podcast. So definitely go ahead and subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And all right, so moving on, TJ and Molly get some news. And Andrea, the surrogate, comes in and tells TJ that she lost the baby. And
I'm not surprised.
Well, here's the thing. I guess there's just a lack of follow through, in my opinion. Like, where was the proof from the hospital? Because she didn't go to GH. She went to Mercy. You know, she went to another hospital. So where's the proof that, you know, this happened? Where's your discharge letter? Where's your, you know, or she didn't make it to the hospital. She only went afterwards. You know, did they do an ultrasound showing that the baby was no longer inside your body or whatever the case was?
They're not going to bring that up. They're not going to do it. Well, they're not going to bring that up. They never show proof, do they, when there's a miscarriage on GH?
I don't believe so.
I mean, they just do the aftermath. Like, oh, the baby's gone.
And then, and then she tells TJ that, you know, I just can't do it again. It's too emotionally stressful, which I get. I've never been through a surrogacy problem or surrogacy, you know, situation. But, you know, I understand from the from an emotional standpoint. But now TJ has to tell Molly.
Yeah, which he did. Yep. And of course she's devastated.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've talked about with the storyline, it is very, I don't know if convoluted is the right word, but it's messy. Like, it's not really, like, we kind of knew this was going to happen, right? Because eventually we believe that they have planned it for Christina to eventually be the surrogate for Molly and TJ.
So that is theoretically going to be happening. Thank you to Kate Manzi again on Stephen Bradford's podcast. She did let it slip that that's where they are going, that she is going to be the surrogate for Molly and TJ. David points out something that I also had the idea that Andrea may still be pregnant and just, you know, steal the, you know, the baby. You know, theoretically down the line, you know, in, you know, 6 months soap time, you know, somebody may see her in town and she'll still be pregnant. And there's a little bit of suspicion there because, well, we thought you had a miscarriage. If the baby comes out looking like TJ, you know that.
We'll eventually know. When you get the follow up, that is, which GH is not the greatest with follow through and follow up. They're just not. Right.
Yeah.
Be honest, they drop the ball a lot and pretty consistently at that.
Yeah, exactly. So that theoretically, that is where they're going to have Christina be the surrogate. I mean, they're going to be doing a lot with Christina in the next year, you know, assuming this is where it's going, especially with, you know, the whole LGBTQ plus, you know, youth center that she's starting. And then, you know, her and Blaze in a relationship. And then her being, you know, Molly's surrogate. So she's going to be all over the canvas over the next year. I'm thinking maybe that's why they made the recast with Kate Manzi, because, you know, Lexi Ainsworth likes to do her traveling, you know, and, you know, she's not, maybe she just couldn't be available as much as GH wanted to. So they could have had this planned out for a year, all this stuff going on.
I don't.
I can't hear you. I think your mic might have gone out.
Decided to go another nothing against Kate Manzi, because I know she's great, seen her on Days. So and I'm really kind of curious. This Blaze in like Christina romance is just kind of like popping. It's just like it's happening, I think. So I didn't really think anything of it when they first started talking at Charlie's pub, and then you were like, oh, they were flirting, and I was like, they were. Like, I didn't catch on to that. I'm like, I thought they were just being friendly. I don't know. So I didn't catch on to that right away, but I was like, okay, that's fine. But I mean, but then she like popped up in like on Sunny's Island. Yeah. And I was like, is that real? Is she really there? Is that like a dream Christina said? Like, I'm confused. Like that was real? Like, okay. So apparently I think like they're making moves for them to be like a real couple. So it's happening. I mean, today, like she was there for Blaze recording in the studio. So she was the most,
like I said, I haven't watched today's yet. So,
I only saw a little bit of today, not all of it, but just a little.
I am on the side of hashtag craze. You know, so I'm just putting that out into the ether. Moving on, so you know, moving on kind of in the same vein is Blaze and Alexis talking, and they're going to be doing an article in the Invader about sexual harassment in the music industry, you know, and how they caught Link, and You know, I think that's going to be a really good thing, and maybe that could be how Alexis uncovers the real truth behind Blaze's identity. Because if I'm not mistaken, didn't Alexis have dealings with Alcazar? I don't know. It was before I started watching.
I think that was a thing in the past. I think that was before I started watching. But, I don't know if
And we know how close, you know, Alexis is to, you know, the Quartermains, and, you know, Sky was always around. You know, and again, you know, it just begs the question of how much they're going to be, you know, delving into, how much they're going to be delving into the sexual harassment part of it, but also how much they're going to actually show, you know, Blaze and Christina getting close, Blaze and Alexis working on the story. I don't want to see it where all of a sudden this article comes out and we don't see any of the interview conversations between Alexis and Blaze. Mm-hmm. I want to actually see some of that dialogue and see the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I want to see like on screen, because I hate when they do that thing where they talk about something that happened, but obviously it happened off screen because we didn't see it. So I would like to see that on screen too. And they really had to talk Blaze into this, because at first she was like, I don't know if I want to do that. And then she was like talked into it, and she's like, all right, for the greater good, let's do this article. So I just hope they do it justice, because this is actually a real issue that happens to women. So I hope they can do it justice, and they can do it right and do their proper research on it, because it can be a subject that could cause some people on Twitter to go really crazy over it. And say, hey, you're not portraying this correctly, or you're not doing this right. So I could already see, you know, Twitter set ablaze with that now.
Yeah, exactly. And then Alexis, after, you know, that meeting with Christina and Blaze, she sees Molly's laptop or tablet on the table, and ends up bringing it back to Molly, and that's, you know, she comes in at the right time. And, you know, Molly's upset just hearing the news about Andrea. And, you know, and I really like how Alexis said, okay, who do you want me to tell? Who do you not want me to tell? Do you, you know, kind of respecting Molly and TJ's boundaries and their feelings. You know what I mean? So she, you know, she's being a good mother at that point. And I felt so bad when Molly said, I have to go through my search history and start deleting, you know, all the searches for baby stuff. And that's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't think about that part of it when somebody
loses
a baby like that. Like, those are the little things that people don't probably think about, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad they mentioned the little stuff like that, because that is something like, obviously she was planning for it. So she probably already had like decorations picked out for the nursery and things picked out, and probably had a baby registry set up. Like, who knows? Like, you know, she really was invested in this happening.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. All right. Let's move on a little bit more now. I mean, it took them long enough to get this story to actually be something where we actually kind of care about it. Like, it was dragged on for so long through four different Mollies, you know, and through no fault of the actor's own, except for one of them where she got booted out because of bad backlash. You know, through four Mollies, and just it was going on way too long. I think everybody kind of knew the end game was Christina at the very beginning. So why go through everything? Like, you know, why go through it all? But regardless, let's kind of move on to Cody and Sasha in Deception. Sasha back on Home and Heart. And, you know, they tried to screw with her again. you know, a little bit, kind of saying how, you know, testing and seeing how much she's gonna be able to stand the pressure with being on screen again. And then here comes Cody, and Maxie's like, oh yeah, well, we have two faces of deception, and it's not just for a woman, it could help a man too. And that to me is like so great. I enjoyed those scenes.
I really enjoyed the scenes where like Maxie and Sasha were talking, and then Sasha said she had feelings for Cody, but she really was just, I think, saying that as an excuse or whatever to like not work with Cody or something. And Maxie was like, well, that's great, because Cody's feelings for you too. And then Cody goes out of the corner like he was just lurking there, like, what?
Yeah. But
which was a little comical and funny, but I just felt kind of bad for Cody, because they had the highlight for me of that whole situation was the Cody and Sasha discussion, where they talked about it, about the potential feelings that really Cody had for her, and she didn't really have any for him, at least not right now.
Well, I think she does have feelings for Cody. It's just she's not ready to be in a relationship. She has too many unresolved, you know, feelings from Brando, from Liam, and the fact that she never really got a chance to grieve because of everything else that she was put through from Gladys and from the courts and that, you know? So it's like, she needs that time, and Cody is understanding of it.
I think he's completely so in love with her that he said he will wait. So, and she's like, I really can't ask you to wait, because I don't know how long it'll take. Like you're free to move on, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anyone else for Cody but Sasha right now as a love interest. So there we are. and it is fine. I don't know. I kind of feel a little bit bad for Cody. As much as I haven't really cared that much about Cody, but I feel a little bad. Like, dude, I think you got your hopes up for like no reason. Cause like, she might not be that into you. Like, she may be a little into you, but maybe like she needs the time to like process all her grief. So like, you're going to wait around, and I don't know. But I think he really wants to just at least be there for her as a friend. And now there's this whole thing with them potentially working together. So
yeah.
I mean, I think they've set those two up to be a couple. And I think there's a considerable number of fans who want that to happen. So I think we needed this pairing for me to like Cody at least a little bit, because I was not a big Cody fan when he initially came on the screen,
and I think a lot of people kind of weren't Cody fans at the beginning, just because of the simple fact of how he supposedly got the job by texting Frank Valentini. You know, and kind of like the way he came in, you know, Britt was,
well, that's how Kevin Matheson got the job too, wasn't it? Like, I mean,
I can't be sure. I don't know if that's how Cameron Matheson got the job or not. But you know, and I think the reason, you know, again, one of the reason why Cody was kind of put in there, Britt was still, kind of mourning Jason, and because that was meant to be a really big thing for her. She only stuck around because of the pairing with Steve Burton, and then Steve leaves because of the vaccine mandate. So, you know, they ended up, so she's like, well, there's really no reason else for me to be here.
I don't blame her at all.
I understand too. Yeah. It's like you're expecting one thing, and you know, then all of a sudden, because of reasons outside of your control, and don't get me started. Yes, I know vaccines are in your control, but again, somebody's personal choice is sometimes out of your control. right. So Nathan points out, Frank always hires his actors, actresses in the parking lot or the supermarket, just as Karen Matheson and Michael Easton. So I assume that's what CM and ME stand for. But yeah, I guess, you know, Frank Valentini kind of goes with people he knows and what have you.
But that's why I think Roger Haworth has been on multiple times, because he's in Frank's back pocket. So that's kind of what I've always figured.
Yeah, well, I mean, Frank did come over from One Life to Live. So, I mean, you know, he did, you know, get a lot of those actors. And you know, with Josh Kelly, I firmly believe that if he came in as his One Life to Live counter, you know, One Life to Live character of Cutter, I think that it could have theoretically had the same effect as Cody. The only difference is he wouldn't be running a nightclub. He's, you know, now he's a farmer and animal handler for the quartermaine.
Hangs with horses all day.
Work with horses and alpacas.
Alpacas. I don't know. I mean, that's a kind of, it could be a real smelly job, you know, so. Make sure that guy showers before he gets that close to you.
That's what the Deceptor is for, as we saw. I mean, hell, Lucy, hire me. I could be the spokesperson for Deception. excuse me. But so, yeah, I can't wait to see where they're going to go with Cody and Sasha. Brooklyn and Lois kind of did a little bit of strategizing on how to get the how to get Deception back to Maxie and Lucy and Sasha. And I, again, as I pointed out last week, is Tracy giving her the entire amount of stock in Deception, or is she just going to have Brooklyn run Deception? And, you know, that then we need to find out that information.
I mean, wouldn't Tracy figure at some point that if she had given Brooklyn all the stock, that Brooklyn could just give it back to its rightful owner anyway? Agreed. Like, wouldn't she have already forecasted that in her brain?
Because Tracy only cared about that 1% of ELQ that Lucy had. That's it. That was her end game.
Right.
So, yeah, again, we know Tracy left to go to Amsterdam to close out Luke's date with Bobby. This is obviously setting up the storyline for Bobby to pass away. I don't know how they're going to do it. Is it going to be a plane crash? Is it going to be, you know, something in Amsterdam? You know, and will we see Anthony Geary come out of retirement to just film something even from home, kind of welcoming, you know, Bobby into heaven, if Luke really is dead?
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Just one little scene, you know, that'd be a little cool. That'd be kind of cool just to do that. Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, a lot of fans were upset that Luke was killed off screen because he is a that perennial General Hospital.
It's a legendary character. That's expected for people to be upset about that. Yeah.
He's a legacy character, absolutely. So, you know, who knows? But that would be kind of cool if they did get him to come out of retirement for one scene. Could it, you know, I mean, we have heard that Jane Elliott is coming back. So it's not even like they can say, okay, well, you know, Tracy is presumed dead in a plane crash with Bobby. But again, remember, Bobby has been in Amsterdam for this entire time, because that's why she sold Kelly's to Carly for $1, because she was leaving to go to Amsterdam to take care of Luke's stuff. So now Tracy has to go over there to help out. And we know Jane Elliott is coming back, so it's not like they could say, okay, well, they both were in a plane crash, or if it's a plane crash coming back to the U.S. From Amsterdam, maybe Tracy kind of washes up to shore or washes up on shore, and, you know, we know that she's alive, but you know, Bobby unfortunately perishes. There's a couple of different ways, but obviously it's going to be an off-screen passing. So who knows if that's going to, how that's going to go. I think the last thing that we really need to talk about is Adam. And, you know, now, this is something that, you know, I wish we had a couple of, you know, college students watching or in our orbit. I wanted to see if, you know, what exactly is going on there. We see that he's taking pills. And apparently he's talking to his father on the phone. Father saying, you're not taking Adderall, right? And, you know, obviously we see that he's taking pills. You know, he's very stressed out about an upcoming test. Jocelyn is like, hey, kid, I can't study with you. I just don't have the time right now. You're going to do great. Got a 92 on the last test.
He's putting a lot of pressure on Joss to be his like savior for passing exams, which is really highly suspicious. You can't depend on your study partner to help you pass a test that's ultimately up to you, just like she's told him. And I just think this is a little more than just parental pressure. It just seems like there's something more to it than that, and it's really, really weird. And the fact that he's constantly lurking outside Josh's dorm room, and now he's taking these pills, so obviously he's on something, and that's why he's so adamant about Josh helping him. I think he still obviously has some kind of crush on her, but it's just really, really bizarre, and I feel like it's way more than just his parents.
Yeah, I agree.
Like riding to pass a class. Like, and he's like, oh, 92% wasn't good enough, even though that's like an A minus.
Yeah.
Or like an A. Like, yeah. Like that's not acceptable. Your parents want you to get like what, 100%? They want you to be like perfect. Like, what is this? Like, this is just weird. Like, I don't think it's just his parents riding.
But he's also he's also lying to his parents even about having friends and having a support system.
So, there's something psychological happening there, yes. Obviously, because, yeah, it's weird, but I'm thinking because, like, is this Maurice Bernard's kid in real life, right? So I think it's going to be some kind of, like, mental health storyline. Like, that kind of makes sense, because the way they're portraying it is just really, really, really weird. I don't even know why Joss is still caring about him at this point, because I would kind of like, I would be kind of fearing for my safety at this point, because he's just a little bit too, okay. Like he's borderline stalker at this point. Like it's just freaking me out.
Yep. You're exactly right. Yeah. Oh yeah. One thing we do have to kind of, was it last week? Or this week, I can't remember what was the. No, it was last one. I'm sorry. So we went over how Spencer and Trina had their big blow up last week. This week, you know, we see that Trina and Spencer are kind of talking to people separately. It's Trina. Trina was talking to Curtis. Spencer. Mm-hmm. Spencer talking to, was it Laura?
Spencer talked to Joss. Like Joss told him,
right, yeah.
Joss straightened his ass out. like I was really team Josh last week, because she was like, "This is exactly how you acted as a child when you didn't get what you want. You did this. Yep. You did ABC to try to control the situation and get what you want. You're gonna have to give something up and decide that you can't get everything the way you want it." Like you're right. Gonna have to make a choice, and she was very upfront with him, and I applaud her for that, because he's acting like a bratty kid, you know, and it's just like, dude, this is ruining your relationship with Trina. Like this wanting to live with Esme, like you're not thinking about the fact of how it looks to your girlfriend that you're spending some time with your girlfriend, but you're spending the majority of your time with your ex-girlfriend, who basically got your current girlfriend in jail.
Yeah.
So, like, almost in jail. So, like, there's all these, like, implications that he's not really thinking about in his head. And he's so focused on taking care of his baby brother, but it was brought to his attention that it's getting to the point where, like, you're acting more like you're his father than is you're the brother of this kid. So, I mean, that needed to be said. He needed to have a stern talking to.
So there's definitely a couple of different options they can go, different routes they can go with this. Could you see where Spencer, because he's so obsessed with keeping Ace under his roof, first off, I enjoyed where Esme said, okay, well, you know, it's going to be the four of us living together, right? You know, and Spencer's like, what do you mean the four of us? Well, you know, me and Ace, you and Trina, you know, and it's like, And I agree, Esme has a right to try to start her own life. She did the right thing by going to Laura and saying, listen, I need to move out because I'm starting to have feelings for Spencer. And I don't want to disrespect Trina because I believe in my previous life, I was very hurtful towards her and she's been nothing but nice to me. But see, what about if this happens? Is there a possibility of Spencer going to get that fabricated evidence against Esme to kind of hold it over her head and be like, hey, this is how you used to be. This is stuff that you've done that can put you into prison and then you'll be out of Ace's life. So now you have to stay, you know, where under Laura's roof. So, I mean, if obviously that would even drive a bigger wedge between Spencer and Trina. Because Trina's not going to like that, you know, because I don't think she was even with him going, you know, going to do that at the very beginning when she first found out about it.
Now, Trina's at the end of her rope at this one. She needs him to, like, make that choice.
Yeah.
And they did have scenes today. I won't spoil them. But it's just... I can see her point of view and she's agitated. And I think she's been very gracious about the whole thing. And she's just reached her breaking point where she's like, I can't continue in this relationship. If you're going to have this relationship basically with Esme and you act like, oh, Esme moving out is like going to completely take away your baby brother. It's not. Like, he can visit his baby brother at any time, but he's, like, acting like it. He's making it, I think he's making a mountain out of a molehill, is what I think. But, you know, in Spencer's eyes, he's like, oh, this means my baby brother's out of my life. And no, she still lives in the same town, bro.
Yeah.
Like, Josh brought that up. Josh brought it up to him. Like, you can go visit him at any time. Like, it's not like he's completely out of your life.
Yeah. And
I just don't think he's realizing that living with Esme was having such an effect on Trina, and he's not really taking her feelings into consideration.
Yep. He's just being very selfish at this point.
But that's Spencer, though. That's kind of in his like...
It's in his DNA.
It's his DNA to be a little, you know, selfish.
All right. Well, I think that kind of brings us to the end of our trip through Port Charles. We did talk a little bit about Days. We did talk a little bit about, you know, other stuff and everything. But especially this Thursday being Thanksgiving, it's especially important that we do our thankful minute. Let's get on to that now. So, Christy, I'll set the timer for 1 minute. Feel free to let us know what you're thankful for.
Just thankful for having a job where I can work remotely during the Thanksgiving holiday and visit my parents. And I am thankful for my faith this week. I lost a friend this week, so it's been rough. But I am grateful for that I have faith that I know my friend's in a better place. And I don't know. I'm grateful for my life and you know, the things I have and the parents I have. And I just think about Thanksgiving and I'm not taking anything for granted. I'm just very grateful. Very grateful. So.
All right. Absolutely. Great. So I'm going to go on to mine. And I'm thankful kind of for similar stuff that Christy is. But I'm thankful for the fact that I'm able to spend time with my niece, who I babysat for tonight, even though she wasn't really feeling that well. It was just great to be able to spend the time with her and to have a close family bond that I have with my family. I'm thankful for being able to express myself on this podcast and growing this network. Yeah, I'm not making money at this point, but I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to grow it. I have the opportunity to create content and be able to, you know, talk and get my opinions out there and come up with different ideas. We're going to be doing a lot more once, you know, Thanksgiving is over. I'm going to be coming up with a few more different shows. So I'm thankful for all of it and just thankful to be here. And that's it for my thankful minute. And, you know, we're just thankful that we hope that everybody has a good Thanksgiving this week. And, you know, just be grateful. And as human beings, just be better. You know, we're all going through something, you know, regardless of whether you're a celebrity or not. You know, we're all we all struggle at times with a lot of stuff going on in this world, whether it's bullying, whether it's financial, whether it's, you know, physical, mental health. Everybody struggles. So just keep in mind that when you're tweeting or putting out posts, that everybody's going through something. And, you know, just because you're anonymously posting behind a smartphone screen or a computer screen, that your words could potentially put somebody's life, you know, livelihood at risk. And, you know, we don't want to do that. So thank you all for joining us again. Go ahead and click the like button, subscribe, get notified. If you're listening on a podcast platform, go ahead, give us a 5-star review. And thank you for watching. This will be out on the podcast app tomorrow, Tuesday, and then we'll be back with you next Monday, same time, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on youtube.com/@SudsandTheSquared Circle. And then this coming Saturday, watch Survivor Series live on Peacock. And have a great day. Have a great week, everybody.